Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Big Ben is underneath center, calls the signals, turns, play action fake, back to pass, now he's looking right, now he dumps it over the middle, it's picked off, MJ Stewart's got it, and he brings it down to the Pittsburgh 46-yard line, another turnover by the Steelers.
I think this offense is going to be completely different. You'll see nothing that you've ever seen in the past. We're going to try and just throw literally everything at everybody, and so that way we won't be predictable. You know, it's new. I mean, there is a lot of new. In all seriousness, there's a lot of new. And so for someone who's kind of had a very similar offense for a long time, verbiage-wise, it's taken some extra studying, but it's a fun new challenge. Guys are getting it, and hopefully it translates into winning football.
In the shotgun, Big Ben looking over that Browns defense. On second down at 20, takes the snap, drops to throw, back, looks, throws, middle, tip, and picked off! They got it again, it's red wide. He's got it at the 40-yard line. He cuts wide right, he's got a convoy. 35, 30, 25, 20, he's to the 15-yard line. He got knocked out by Mike Filer. The Browns defense does it again.
Do what Ben wants to do and how Ben wants to do it. Our job is putting every player in position to make plays. So there are changes with terminology, how we're calling things, which has been an adjustment for Ben, and he's been great, really learning it, doing really well with it. I think he has adapted easily. He's like, we all knew that he would. That is our job. Matchups are how you win football games. Ben starts with the quarterback. What does he do well? What does he like? What does he see? What is good to his eye in the passing game? And then we build off that.
And welcome in. It's the BM team, and we're presented by the Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. You're damn right, it's a Malzy Monday. And here's what that means, people. For the last 2.5 years, Andrew Filippone has very ably, very capably run this show. He is a wealth of knowledge, topics, and radio know-how. He's a professional, in other words. Me, no one's ever used that word really with me, but I do it my own way. And today, the powers that be here at the Fan, they said, well, Andrew's taking the show on the road, so guess what, Andrew? You cede control to your co-host. We're doing it my way, or it's the highway. Craig's got a I've got a dump button. Craig can just pot Andrew down. I did this for a year and a freaking half during a pandemic, so now Andrew gets 4 hours to feel what it's like. Hi, Pony.
Oh, my God. This sounded like a good idea, but now that I hear the execution of it, I'm already having second thoughts. How about you, Craig?
We're not off to a great start with that Ben montage in my eyes.
The montage was interceptions from the wild card game. And, yeah.
Do you want to know what's really sad about this, Pony? Like, when I thought of the montage.
Do I sound okay, by the way?
You sound
Is
good.
It bad?
No, you sound okay. Good. No, sounds wonderful, actually. It's weird being on the other end of this after doing it, like I said, for so long. But I said to Craig, I said, I want this song for the montage. Dead serious in my brain at first was it's about Ben, and I had this old Cowboys got a little something left, and I was thinking back in the saddle.
You know, I guess this old Cowboys got a little bit left.
I said to Craig, after he had the montage made, I said, you know what? I just realized that this is perfect for me too running the show today because I haven't done it in so long. And he just goes, dude, that's why I thought you picked the song in the first place. So
How does it feel? Are there jitters? Are there butterflies?
No, it comes back pretty quick, honestly.
Riding a bike?
Yeah, it's actually...
The professionalism comes right back.
The professionalism comes right back, but it's easier when you... I'm used to doing it as a two-person show. When you do it by yourself, you have to do it, as you know, a totally different style that you have to bring to the table. But no, it's come back quickly here. And I didn't play those clips just to be a jerk.
You did.
This is one of those situations... Stop. This is one of those situations where... it's like when we last left our heroes, they were in this situation. They were in a tough spot. We've got mini camp down, Pony. We have heard from Ben. We have heard from Matt Canada. The last time we left our hero, he was throwing interceptions all over the Heinz Field turf, and they were getting humiliated by little brother for the first time basically ever in our lifetimes. And now I want to know, where do you and where do other people think things are at with Ben relative to the end of the season? Do you feel better or worse about the old Cowboy than you did right then when he was throwing those picks, when he was hanging his head, when he and Pouncey were having a good cry on the sideline?
I feel worse. But I feel bad in saying it because I know I'm just playing right into your plan. It's just like you're a Venus flytrap. you've spun your web. And I've landed in there, and there's no way of getting out. No, I don't feel better about him. And the reason why I don't is because I already hear with Canada and Roethlisberger the potential for this to blow up. You know, I think when Ben says – people that are pro-Ben take it the wrong way. When he says, it's taken me so much time to learn. I'm listening. We're going over things together. That's why I'm here. I'm at OTAs. We need to put in the extra work now to get a head start on training camp in the season because it's a totally new offense. And then Canada talks for the first time last week, and he says, no drastic changes. I'm not making any drastic changes to the offense. It's like Roethlisberger setting the foundation or the bedrock for, man, you put me in this position. I'm 39 years old. You're making me do something that I really don't want to do. And then Canada comes back and says, no, it's how you want to do it, Ben. And I think it's the Spider-Man meme sort of thing. So I don't have a great feeling about it. I don't. I wish I had a better feeling. But we've talked about this for 6 months. Neither one of us wanted him back in the first place. And Roethlisberger has talked, I think, one time since he decided to, take the pay cut.
Oh, no. That was his idea, remember. That was his idea to give me less money.
And said, how about this? Here's my idea.
See, that's why I don't like this already, too, is from him, there has been nowhere near the degree of, I guess, contrition, for lack of a better word, but acceptance of his own role in what went wrong last year. Like, all the signs are pointing to me to they might have a better running back. In fact, they definitely do, than anybody who's on the roster. The offensive line, nobody knows for sure what it's going to actually look like, but that the guy at the center of the thing still feels like he was doing them a favor in almost every conceivable sense.
Right.
That's where I come down on this. That's why I was thinking about it. It was like a nice line of demarcation, because now we have this month period, basically, where we have a dead zone of Steelers, thoughts. There's not going to be that much happening unless they sign somebody. We talked about Trey Turner. You and I both are lockstep on what that would mean if they actually brought him in. But now it's time for people to take stock of this, and I just don't see. They've changed a lot of deck chairs, right? New left tackle, new right tackle, same as the right tackle from last year for 1 week, new center, new starting left guard, hopefully same starting right guard, new running back, new coordinator, new quarterbacks coach, the whole thing. And yet it feels like, and I played the song, back in the saddle, it feels like the same old Cowboys getting back in that saddle to run everything.
Yeah. Yep, and I think that bringing Najee in, I think the glass entirely full thing is that he's going to give Ben a reason to take less ownership of the offense and cede control, and it's going to be more of a 50-50 run to pass split. And even Hayward has said that's what he's hoping for as the defensive captain, but I got to see it to believe it, Chris.
I don't even want that, though. You might think I'm a Venus flytrap here. I don't even want them to take the ball out of a potentially healthy and hopefully motivated Roethlisberger's hands more than 50% of the time. Here's the thing about this: Najee Harris.
But
is
he's not going to be. He's not going to be like you're saying. That's like I don't know. The idea that he's going to somehow turn back Father Time like
I'm
Brady
just,
has.
I'm humoring the idea that his elbow will be better after a second year removed from this surgery and what have you in a normal
offseason. But you never humor that idea. So why are you doing that now? Because you're taking charge of the show?
A little bit, but there's precedent here for me to actually have done some humoring. I did say it was a show you were off. I said after the Colts game, I was at least wrong about his arm strength because his arm did look good. But what I'm saying here is what you bring up about like the best case glass completely full cup runneth over scenario for their offense. The thing that gets me about that is it's a catch 22 inherently because we know Ben waits for a running back to prove himself, right? Like Le'Veon Bell didn't probably earn his stripes with the quarterback until he had shown he was a very unique talent, right? He was picking up a lot of blitzes. He was making short passes into long gains, and then he was running in a very unique style. I don't know how Najee Harris with Ben at the end of the line gets Ben to like convinces Ben to say, hey, yeah, I will turn and hand the ball off to you, actually. Or if you're standing next to me because I'm in the shotgun, I'm going to hand the ball off to you. Show me what you can do. It feels like he's probably not going to get a chance to show what he can do unless the quarterback just has some magical change of heart as to how he wants to do things.
Well, he's going to get frustrated if they try it and it doesn't work. And I think he gets impatient because he knows that his football mortality, whether he wants to admit it publicly or not, is not that far away. So he's going to go live by the sword, die by the sword, and go down his way. That's what I believe,
at least. Do you think he's playing for another contract after this year, though? Like, because that's what I can't – so there's two versions of Ben Roethlisberger seeing the future, and they have vastly different outcomes, in my opinion, as far as how he plays. If he really is concerned, like I've heard a lot of people tell me he definitely is. Trust me, Mulsey, you're a big Browns fan. You just don't accept this. If he's really concerned about his legacy – thank you – if he's concerned about his legacy, I actually think the play there for him would be, I'm going to try to be a good soldier by and large, but, you know, pick my spots here to remind everybody why I'm going to go to the Hall of Fame. If he wants contract number two, or another contract, I should say, I feel like this goes a very different direction for him. And he passes as much as he thinks he can get away with to show, hey, I can still put up good numbers, and then he just rolls the dice that the team will be good enough.
They were undefeated last year, and he, you know, pulled the ripcord and hit the eject button and ended up doing it his way. And they got results. They beat Tennessee and Baltimore, two of the best teams on their schedule, and both games were on the road. And I think that ended up being a curse more than anything else. I think that actually was a short-term win that had a long-term negative effect on them because it emboldened Roethlisberger, and it made him think that playing that style where he took over was what was best for the team. So I could even see him playing nice at the start of the year. But if they get off to a bad start and they have a losing record early, or you know they're not putting up the kind of production offensively that he wants, I think Ben will change it. And he'll play the, I've never had a losing season. I'm a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. You're a coach from college. You know, it's my way. That's how I want to do it. And to me, the other thing here that fits into your question and into the equation for how I answer it with, do I feel better or worse about Ben?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things for a 39-year-old quarterback that I think is imperative is that he gets protected. And the offensive line has changed. It's different, but it hasn't gotten better. They didn't invest really any money this offseason into their offensive line. They lost guys, and they used internal replacements. They've got a third-round center who might play at some point this year, and that's really it. It's guys at new positions, but you're expecting better contributions, and you've really got no, outside of DeCastro, and who knows with him, you've got nothing to base it on. Like, I see Dale Lally. I have to work his name into this because you're hosting and I'm trying to needle you now because that's what you would do to me if the roles were reversed. He wrote today, and I didn't see the article because it was behind a paywall and I haven't subscribed.
I didn't see the article because I was blocked. I'm blocked by everybody at that site. But
the headline was, if you look up the offensive line metrics from Roethlisberger's three Super Bowl appearances, those lines were not good either, which is true.
No, the 43 Super Bowl, people still talk glowingly, and I actually agree with this sentiment, believe it or not. He didn't have a good regular season. He had the legendary drive in the Super Bowl. That was to call that a patchwork line would be kind of patchwork everywhere. It was a bad line.
He got sacked a ton. He was sacked, I think, more than any quarterback in the league that year, and they had one of the worst five rushing attacks in the
entire
league.
He was also 29, though, and he was willing to take the hits. And he was willing to stand in there and take the punishment.
Not only that, but he moved better.
Right.
You know, there are quarterbacks, and, you know, Lamar Jackson is one of these. And, you know, Ben's never been Lamar Jackson, but now he's a statue. Now he's stationary. Is that before, it wasn't a bad thing if an offensive lineman got beat, because I think a lot of defensive coordinators thought, holy crap, Roethlisberger's way more dangerous when he's on the move. He's going to get outside the pocket. It's total improvisational. It's total ad lib. And that's where he's at his best. Well, now that part of his game, because of his age and the way he's taking care of his body and because of the amount of hits he took early in his career, that's gone. Now he's confined to the pocket. What you're left with, in my opinion, is a bigger version of Phillip Rivers, where he doesn't have an unorthodox throwing motion, but he pretty much has to play the position the same way. How do you do that with a bad offensive line? I think when you do, what you get is probably an offense like last year, Chris, where the ball's out fast.
That's what the minute you brought up the line here to start this kind of thread pulling off from the main thread, the first thing I thought of when you brought up the idea of a shaky patchwork offensive line where they're making not excuses for it, but they're like trying to rationalize why it's going to be better. Chooks is better fit for left tackle. Banner's a road grader. Everybody loves Adrian Clem. He's soft-spoken, but he's a real hard-ass behind closed doors. Whatever. In reality, they have a ton of questions there at almost every position in some way, shape, or form. And I thought the first thing I thought of when you brought that up was, at 39, whether he's trying to get another contract or just trying to hang on for one more year and add to his legacy, he's going to get rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds or less to try to counteract that, unlike what he did in 2009 and in seasons before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, where does Craig come down on
that? Oh, I was going to bring little Pollyanna into this here. Don't you worry, Pony. I was going to bring our little Pollyanna friend and ask him where he stood. You're playing tuba. You've got like a little, go Ben thing, like a college, you know, tuba player or whatever, trombone player thing going there. So tell me how you feel. Better or worse about old Benjamin now that minicamp's over?
I feel great.
Great. Not just better, great.
Yeah. He's there. He's working with Matt Canada. He's learning the offense. He's asking the adult questions. All the things he needs to do to run this offense and make things work, he's done so far. Why would I not feel great about that?
Because he might just be completely full of it and saying it to, you know, placate people.
He and Matt Canada are playing all of us like fools.
Would both of you feel even worse, Pony, in your case and in my case, and Craig, worse than you do, which is great about this, if you were getting a lot of Coach Matts out of Ben already? Because if I was hearing him call him Coach Matt, I would actually feel a lot worse. And I already feel pretty bad.
Well, I just think the thing he said about this is a totally different language in a totally different new way
laying the ground
of offensive football. It's no one else has characterized their offensive changes that way. Mm-hmm. He's the only one. Mm-hmm. Rudolph went out of his way, it sounded like, when he was asked about, you know, the difference in offensive coordinators and the difference in the way they play, was like, yeah, I think, you know, he's trying to put us in position to succeed and put things into the offense that we like and we're good at. But he didn't make it sound like he was having to have a crash course and cram to learn a totally new language. Ben's the only one that's made it sound that way. So I read between the lines with that. Knowing him, I don't think that that's a good sign. He hasn't, like, totally patronized Canada by calling him like a silly name like Coach Todd or Coach Matt like that, but...
No, he's laid the groundwork for why he's going to do it his way, and this is why, because isn't this the smart way to do it?
And the offensive coordinator gave him that license to do what he wants.
Speaking of a license to do what he wants, that's what I have today, because it's a Malzy Monday. Pony has the show on the road. How do you feel? This is a very unfamiliar posture for you, to be in the chairs, so to speak.
This is the most blind, and this is the least prepared I've ever been to do a show, I think, in my entire life.
Well, now you really know what it's like to be me day to day.
I'm in my mother's den, and
she has a room she still considers a den?
Yes, it's a room where there's a bunch of, like, Buddhist quotes and, like, yoga.
Like a Confucius thrown in there?
Yeah, there's a statue of a Buddha. There's a statue of a dog Buddha.
A dog Buddha?
A dog Buddha. I'll tweet that out.
Hmm.
There's no TV. Mm. There's no internet.
And you can't even gamble legally there.
I can't.
Oh,
you're right.
Man, Craig.
You're right.
We gotta put action on a bunch of afternoon sporting events just
there's
to rub
a dog,
it in.
There's a dog here, but my mom just took it for a walk. It's an eight-month-old dog.
Oh, no.
That absolutely, when she comes back, will probably end up making at least one cameo appearance on the show. So remember, I never did remote shows during the pandemic.
Oh, sounds like that's a deep bark for a puppy.
No,
right
that's,
now.
That's the Lance cut that we have. From before.
Yes, Lance, yes. You didn't do remote shows. I did. Now the shoe is on the other foot.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.